Let's come to our God now in congregational prayer. Let's pray. O Lord God, as we draw near before you, we thank you that you are our merciful and heavenly Father. Lord, when we're in distress, we look around for help. We look to the hills and we wonder, from where will our help come from? And we're reminded that our help comes from you, the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. We're forced to acknowledge that if you made the heavens and the earth, you surely can come to our help. And that is our great comfort to us. You will not allow us to stumble, for you do not sleep. You will keep us in all our ways and in all our being. You will guard our path. Father, as we draw near to you in this time of prayer, once again on this Lord's Day, we thank you that we can cry out to you. We desire, Lord, to understand your word. We desire to understand your purposes with and for us, but we walk in darkness. Help us, Lord, to seek the light of your word. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight, trusting in your good hand upon us. Lord, let us be reminded that in this valley that is shadowed by death, ours is not to understand so much as to trust and obey. Guide us, Lord, in the right way. Help us, Lord, not to lean on our own understanding. Father, we thank you for this juncture in the year where our schedules are adjusted again for not only the education that we receive in schools and institutions, but also the education of our souls. We think, Lord, of the blessing of catechism for the classes that are about to begin. Once again, we would pray that you would bless our teachers, that you would bless the students, that you would bless this season. May it be a time, O Lord, where we would not merely learn facts and memorization, but that these truths that we prepare for will be fixed in our souls. We pray for our covenant children especially, that you would work in them, O Lord, with your mighty spirit, that they, Lord, would respond to the promises that are extended to them with lives of faith and with obedience. And we think, Lord, of the other Bible studies taking place already for this evening, but also throughout this week. Thank you for that, and we pray that these two will be blessed of you richly. Thank you for these times. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness in providing our seniors with birthdays. We thank you, Lord, today for Mr. Minderhout's birthday. We pray for him. Thank you for the good health that he still has and for his part of our church community. We pray that you will richly bless him and strengthen him with your hand. And we also think, Lord, of Mrs. Dorothy Buchema and her birthday, which is, we trust, this week too, as she is given another year, that you will grant to her what she stands in need of by your grace. And Lord, we also pray for your blessing upon our missionaries as we think in particular of Pastor James Folkerts working in Karamoja, Uganda. Lord, this has been a particularly difficult time, a very discouraging time. And we pray that you would be with James and his family. We pray that the Ugandan government would see to it that churches could be open again, since they have been closed for a number of months now. We pray that you will bless the team there in the compound for all the various pastors and their families, for the medical team and the staff, that you would help them, Lord, to be faithful in this time. And Lord, we think of this country, which is already struggling with poverty, and we pray that you will use your word to be of assistance to those, Lord, who are lost in sin, that the gospel would be able to go forth, and that this, Lord, would not be a time of discouragement, but a time of rejoicing, that your kingdom would come there as well. We pray the same, Lord, for your blessing to be upon the work of Reverend Tony Zechfeld. Lord, as there too there are constraints and members may not always see the need to gather again for worship, we pray that you will bless this work, the Hope Center, and use it, Lord, for your glory. And bless Tony and Arleanne and their family. We pray for your blessing upon their continued labors there as they have faithfully been working there for year after year, that you, Lord, would be glorified through them. Bless us also, Lord, now as we turn to your word, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts, and bless your servant also in the proclamation of that word, that it would be your truth and not man's truth. We pray that you will forgive us our sins as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we turn to the reading of Scripture, just first of all, reading from Lord's Day 48, dealing with the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, and you'll find that on page 895 at the back of the hymnal. Page 895 at the back of the hymnal. Again, we have the end of the catechism, this exposition of the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And it asks that question, what does the second petition mean? And it answers, your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit, in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. And that ends the reading of our catechism. Also turn now to God's word, Psalm 122. Found on page 711 of the Pew Bible, Psalm 122, in the collection of psalms entitled A Song of Ascents of David. Psalm 122, hear now the reading of God's holy word. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and inspired word. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open to Psalm 122. It's going to be looking at especially verses 6 to 9 to see that in close relation to the Lord's Day 48 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we noted that the first petition is what changes us. Praying, hallowed be your name, means may your name be honored in all that I say or do. It's like putting the initials SDG behind all that we think and say that SDG, meaning Soli Deo Gloria, may God receive the glory. Praying that God's kingdom would come is equally searching and demanding. It demands our lives and souls. It means start with me. Make me a loyal servant. Make me and others sincere followers of Christ. Make me love what Christ loves, which is his church. And what we're praying for specifically is that his heavenly rule of grace and peace that's promised already in the Old Testament would come to pass. We ask that he would preserve and increase his church and destroy all the wicked attacks against her. So we want to consider Psalm 122, especially verses 6 to 9, in connection with the second petition, praying for God's kingdom to come, specifically praying for the preservation and increase of God's church. And we see that worked out in these three specific ways in the progression of this psalm. First, the blessings desired for God's kingdom. Second, the way to acquire them. And third, the reasons for seeking them. So first, the blessings desired for God's kingdom. Well, Psalm 122 is the third in this series of the songs of ascents. There's a progression as the people of God were making their way to Jerusalem for the feasts. And the first psalm, Psalm 120, is really the outsider psalm as they came from the outside of the world to the church. Woe unto me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. I don't want to be there. I want to be with the Lord. And then Psalm 121 is that psalm which is sometimes referred to as the wayfarer's psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The Lord will guard you or keep you. You're going in and you're coming out. It has to do with travel as they made their way to the temple. And then Psalm 122, where Jerusalem is described as coming into sight. And perhaps it was the time of the great feast, the Passover, or it was the time of Pentecost. Gladness filled the heart of those who journeyed and made their way there. Well, the secret to the city was not so much of its physical beauty, nor its towering edifices. The secret was that God dwelt there. It was the place of fellowship, the communion of saints. As God's people came, there were the smells, the aroma of the sacrifices. A glimpse of Jerusalem from a distance, you had the noises and the odors of sacrifice slaughtering, the songs that gave praise to God. This is what delighted the souls of those who lived in those days. But congregation, beloved of God, this is the amazing truth of who we are. We are the New Jerusalem today. God has made us, and we give praise to him for that. The church of Jesus Christ is where the promises of these words are fulfilled. The church of Jesus Christ is the place where people assemble, and he is vitally, truly, and lovingly in the midst of them. For example, verse 1 says about how glad the psalmist was to go to the house. Gladness speaks of his own attitude and joy as he was there. And has that been our experience as well today? You know, being able to gather together as we are this afternoon here in this corporate worship service. Are you glad to be here? Gladness for God's house is a reflection that we're concerned for the good of the kingdom. We have a love for the kingdom. Also, verses 3 to 5 give that physical description of the city. Verse 3 says that it is built in compact together, which is a description of the architecture of the city. But what is meant behind that word compact doesn't just mean the building blocks and the construction. It refers to the people. We're built and compact together. Compact means that we're united. It's a city of fellowship and love because God is present there. David's delight is in the city because God is with it. And therefore, in this section of the psalm, verses 6 to 9, David prays for its peace and prosperity. Note how peace is mentioned three times here. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Verse 7, may peace be within your walls. Verse 8, I will say now, peace be within you. Of course, the peace that the psalmist is speaking of is the peace that passes all understanding. It's of God ruling that city. And note as well, the prosperity is mentioned. And notice the order and the connection of those two words, peace and prosperity. May they prosper who love you, verse 6. Prosperity within your walls, verse 7. And when we gladly wish for peace to come to the church, it's because we love the church and we gladly wish that prosperity would be there. Prosperity here is similar to that word shalom in the Old Testament, which means God's peace, God's well-being. Why is this something that we should wish for, congregation? Because no one wants to be in a church where there's tension and division. How can God's kingdom come when there is disunity, fights, and quarrels, and the like? But when there's peace, and when we can come and rest in the arms of God and be rested in Him, that's what's so important. Why would the people desire so strongly for this city to be under peace? Because they knew that when it was at peace, then the worship of God could happen. People could go to where the testimony of Israel was kept and hear the word of God. Just as we should find it a delight to go up to the house of God's word, to help the house of God to hear God's word. People would gladly come to Jerusalem for the feast that took place. So we should find a joy to gather with the people of God. When peace and prosperity reigned, then all the worship of Jerusalem was in order. And we too need to desire this in the same way that the psalm writer did. Do you wish for that, congregation? Peace. Do you promote it? It's important for you to be able to come to the house of God where we can be at rest and where there is no conflict. C.H. Spurgeon writes this. He says, in a church, one of the main ingredients of success is internal peace. Strife, suspicion, party spirit, division, these are deadly things. Those who break the peace of the church deserve to suffer, and those who sustain it win a great blessing. The welfare of the church and the welfare of the kingdom growing are bound up in the peace that comes in the church. And when we gladly want to come to the house of God, when we gladly want to see God's kingdom prosper, it's an indication of our love and our affection for the church of Jesus Christ. May the Lord stir that within us in response to His word today. Well, it brings us to our second point, which is, how are these blessings acquired? And the answer is fairly obvious to this, since we're looking at this section of the catechism. It's through prayer. It comes by prayer. First, when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're saying at the very beginning of our prayer, as the catechism points out, if we desire that peace, we're saying, start with me, start with myself. If we desire peace in the church, it has to start with us. We're praying, rule us by your word and spirit. Rule by God and his will and not by my will. As God's child, I'm praying, may you be the king of my weekend activities and king of my quiet thoughts, king of my bank account and my daily work. May you be the king of my family, the king of my marriage, the king of my relationships. Help me in all these things to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And in our prayer for the kingdom, we are also praying that God would preserve and increase his church. This is where we say with David, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because the church exists every day in the midst of all kinds of dangers. It has to be preserved. There are so many dangers, and they're always there. They don't threaten us only from the outside, but also from the inside. During dark times, there's the danger of persecution. When times are good and things are going well, there's the danger of being conformed to the world. Especially in these times, we need to pray that the Lord would preserve us. Pray that he would preserve us from unfaithfulness to God's word. If we have the testimonies within the walls, we must uphold them. If we're like the city compact together, we need to pray that the Lord would preserve us from decline and error and unbelief. That he would make us strong. One of the biggest concerns right now during this pandemic is that we become too comfortable. Too comfortable with live streaming, being at home, that we don't long anymore for corporate worship. We can easily fall into bad habits where we're no longer committed to the local church, or we start to cherry pick other live streams to the neglect of our own. This is where we need the petition, so that we would remain faithful, committed to our church. We must pray that God would keep us from decline and help us to remain strong and not drop out. And we pray, destroy the works of the devil and destroy all counsels conceived against your word. Satan is busy. He hates Christ and his kingdom. He would rather see the church in turmoil. As someone put it, the devil is basically saying to his followers, distract God's people from reading God's word. Make them busy so they don't have time for it. Lure them with lust. Divide them with pride. Burden them with an excess of material things. Get them to believe that the truth is relative. Divert them with constant entertainment. Lull them to sleep with false comforts. Confuse them with wrong teaching. Make them so undisturbed and so trouble-free that they grow lukewarm in prayer and love. And above all, Satan says, get them to forget Jesus. Make the cross of Christ merely a fashion accessory, a background detail in their busy lives, something unimportant and forgotten. Satan is our enemy. And every Sunday, during the sermon, he attacks. He says, don't bend to the word or be changed by it. Just think it's a nice sermon, but other than that, nothing new. Just be neutral. Be a good pew warmer. But really, we need to be aware of how God is speaking to us. And that his kingdom would come in our lives in order for there to be that true peace and prosperity from the Lord. We need to pray that Satan and all his assaults would be kept from the kingdom. And one other thing that the Catechism mentions is praying for the consummation of the kingdom. That's the ultimate fulfillment of Jerusalem in this eternal perspective. The book of Revelation pictures that for us. The new Jerusalem that will come, not built with hands, but coming down from heaven after the final conflict with the Antichrist. And so the prayer of God's kingdom to come is a prayer for the return of Jesus Christ. As Revelation 21 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That's the final fulfillment of this petition, "Your kingdom come." And so we need to pray that peace would be within the walls of Jerusalem. And ultimately, when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're praying, "Father, make me faithful. Let everything I say and do serve in a natural way to cause your kingdom to come." Since we're part of that kingdom, since we're the fulfillment of the words of this psalm, and if we seek to have peace and prosperity in the church and to see God's kingdom come, then we will need to pray this. "May the Lord make us glad to do this, for then we will fulfill what the psalmist says here about the peace and the prosperity of the church. And may God make this happen, and may God impress on us, on our hearts, to pray that way." Well, it leads us to our third point, the reasons for seeking this desired blessing on the kingdom. And they're laid out in the psalm. First, we seek that blessing for each other. Verse 8 says, "For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you." It's to everyone's advantage that there be that. It's good for every Christian, and it is for the good of the kingdom to increase in size. Spurgeon says again, "Here our humanity and our common philanthropy assist our religious prayer. By a flourishing church, our children, our neighbors, our fellow countrymen are likely to be blessed." So may God stir us up in that way to have this kind of gladness and love for wanting God's kingdom to come. When we have this infectious kind of gladness and care for going to the house of God and for praying for the peace of the Church of Jesus Christ, it's bound to have an effect upon the people around us. When there is that infectious gladness for being part of the kingdom, others join in. Others join us in entering into the presence of God. And others join us in praying for the kingdom to grow even more. May that be something that we work towards. And verse 9 says, "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." If we love the house of God and we labor for it, as this passage says, we see it's good and then we seek it's good. We will want to see the kingdom grow in this way. That means that we not only are in prayer, we're to be active. To be actively involved is so essential for the well-being of the church, and not just to be pew warmers, but to be doing, to be working, to be busy in the work of the house of our God. Even if our involvement is limited because we can't, because of health problems, and because we can't help out as we may want to help out, we can pray. Spurgeon again says, "If we can do nothing else, we can intercede for it. Our covenant relation to Jehovah as our God binds us to pray for his people. They are the house of the Lord our God." In other words, these are my people, and I will pray for them. The Lord uses our prayers, congregation, to establish his kingdom in this present world. And we can, and he rather can, and will use anyone, the weak, the lowly, and those who the world despises. But what a blessing it is to belong to the city of God. And what a blessing it is to be used of God to cause his kingdom to come. May he answer the petition, and may he use us to that end of causing his kingdom to come. And may peace and prosperity come through us, the church of God. But the most blessing that we receive today is through Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He's our peace to God. He's brought us together through his body and blood, which we experience in faith. So let us look to the Lord in faith. Let us taste and see that he is good. And let us ask for his blessing to be upon us through this supper that we can celebrate this afternoon. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you once again for your word that we're able to turn to, for the abundance of its fountains of life, and for the way it points us once again to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our peace. And we thank you that you have given him to us, that we no longer are in enmity with you, but we can call upon you as our Father and ask that your kingdom would come. And we pray that that would come about, Lord, working first in us and keeping Satan far from us, and as well helping us, Lord, to remain faithful and committed to you. For, Lord, we cannot remain committed to you if we do not remain committed to your church. And help us, Lord, to see that kingdom expand in the way that we conduct our lives. Lord, as we have that prayer for the peace and prosperity of your house, we long for that day when the new Jerusalem will descend and when earth and heaven will be restored into that perfect unity without sin, without any of the consequences of it. Help us, Lord, as your people to long for that time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.